Salute, Chef Dan. Salute, everyone. Welcome Salute to the everyone. Chef Dan's Giants Report.
Yeah, most definitely. But this is going to be a special edition today. As you see, the Jedi, he has the Jetsalorian in the background. He's letting it be known that it's the New York football week. It's the New York football video that we're releasing today, as we are going to talk about both the Jets and the Giants. We just love us some New York football. And with the draft coming up and with so much news, you know, in and out of the woodworks in the NFL world, we just want to touch bases with the Giants fans, see where everyone's temperature's at, touch bases with the Jets fans, see where everyone's temperature at, you know, period, point blank. What are you looking forward to in the season? Any rumors you heard? How do you feel about it? And so that's what we're here to do. But Jedi, how you doing so far?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Monday afternoon. I'm ready to go. Can't believe it's only 10 days. 10 days before the NFL draft.
It is. It's so close. And with the draft coming up, I know we're going to talk about who we think we should draft and what the moves are, if the pick should even be there for us or not, things of that nature. But before we even get to that, I want to ask you, man, because we spoke already about the Giants' moves during the offseason. Not much that they could do with the limited cap space. But to me, man, I think it's a tie right now. You'd have to tie it as far as who won the offseason, who won the draft, you know, who won the free agency between the Chargers and the Jets. Between the Chargers and the Jets, I don't know who is splurged more as to getting better. Maybe the Chargers, we can see, because they're closer to what they feel is there. But I think you guys have far and beyond exceeded expectations of what everyone thinks you guys were going to do during the offseason. And I can't wait to watch Jets football. What about you?
Yes. First and foremost, salute to my main man, Robert Parr, is in the chat. Robert Parr, always supporting us. Always love to see him here. I'm thinking the Chargers. The Chargers had a much better free agent, you know, on paper. Of course, they have the one thing right now that's developed is their quarterback, but they just keep bringing in more and more guys. The Jets would have made a bigger splash. They would so fell so short getting Tyreek Hill. They still need a number one wide receiver. Today for the New York Jets is the first day of OTAs, voluntary OTAs. They were going to take a look now at Mekhi Becton. Now, Mekhi Becton, they want to see what's the most important thing, and I'm going to be looking. If you see me a little distracted, because I'm trying to get some notes and find out about how much did Mekhi Becton come in to Camp Wayne. The reason why it is a big, big question mark of his weight. They want to see if he's on weight, because you can't have a big tackle at that weight with an injury that normally takes 4 to 5 weeks be out for a whole season because of weight issues. That's a concern, especially going into the draft. We got to make sure that his weight is under control, that he's also could be, you know, because it also impedes him. If he makes weight and controls his weight, I know it's easy. It's harder to say, oh, well, you know, just don't eat. No, it's more than that. But if he wants to make generational changing money, he's going to show his mindset over matter, and he has to put that effort in, because he really needs to come into camp in shape, and also see what and it also shows the coaching staff if he taking his offseason program serious. So a lot. So I'll be looking at those notes. I'm going to be scoring up and down. So don't mind me. I'm trying to find out details on that. With that, but I say the Chargers had a better offseason, Chef Dan. They just brought in a lot of fits that they needed. Of course, it always helps when you have a quarterback ready to go. Their defense is scary. But one thing about Chargers as well as the Jets, that AFC, boy, it's loaded with quarterbacks. It is loaded. And just the AFC West alone.
It is truly loaded with quarterbacks. You see all the great quarterbacks just laced around in the AFC. And what you talked about in your division alone, I know Tua Tagovailoa may be nothing to sneeze at as far as what people, you know, there's still an inconsistent thought on who he is as a player. some people have their thoughts on, you know, he can be, you know, the stars in the skies. Other people feel that he's not, you know, what some scouts have claimed him to be. But all in all, that team, I know that was under a different head coach, but that team consistently found ways to, Miami Dolphins I'm talking about, that team consistently found ways to just rise up to the challenge consistently and be a threat. We saw that with the Russ. Salute to you, man. Thank you so much for joining us. And ladies and gentlemen, please support Russ in the Wife of Crime podcast. Wife of Crime podcast, they have a new YouTube channel out. You guys can check them out there. But I want to talk about the Patriots as well, how you referenced them. Mac Jones, he's not Tom Brady 2.0. We're not saying anything like that. But he's shown to be a very serviceable quarterback that can help the Patriots get to where they need to be. And the Patriots, we know that team isn't spectacularly about quarterback play. They, you know, Tom Brady came into his own later on in his career, but he, you know, like everyone else, started off a system quarterback because they know how to build the right system around a certain quarterback to get what they need to get done. And the Buffalo Bills, I don't need to say anything more about that. That you see what we're doing over here on our end. We're trying to steal any and everything possible from that organization over here in Meadowlands. So, you're talking about all the quarterback, the quarterback play that could be prevalent. It makes my mind go to one thing and one thing only: edge rusher. What are your thoughts on the Jets' chances for edge rusher this year? Like, what are your thoughts on who you currently have on the roster, who you could possibly pick up? What are your thoughts there?
Well, of course, first and foremost, you know, we ended up bringing defensive lineman Solomon Thomas, also Jacob Martin from the Rams, Texans, you know, so we were gaining a Lawson back. You know, Carl Lawson will be returning back from his injury. And also they're going to have two top 10 picks in this current draft, actually 11th, but you know, they'll have two picks in the top 10. Let's put it that way, just for argument's sake. They could address those needs. There's going to be a lot of young studs. You know, this draft here is loaded with defensive linemen, defensive ends, up and down the draft. You know, phenomenal top lineman prospect, and also for both teams, for both New York prospect teams, in which way they go. They could really build up their lines. You know what they say. You're going to have a lot of success. And like you said, all these quarterbacks, you're going to need pressure. You know, you of course, the darling of the draft is Aiden Hutchinson. And then from there on, you depends on what type of scheme system that you run, and depending on the coaching's beauty is to be eye of the beholder. It all depends on what these defensive and defensive tackles. You could go from Kayvon Thibodeau. You could go over to Jordan Davis, Trevon Walker, who's been climbing greatly up on everyone's draft. And actually, they were actually saying that Jacksonville, you know, didn't even think of picking him one. They really liked the guy out of Georgia over Aiden Hutchinson, which I'm like, wow, okay. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if they do something that really crazy. They are the Jacksonville Jaguars. Another name that soaring up that is not only because of physique and talent, but also character, is Jermaine Johnson II. You know, 6'5", 6'2", linebacker, but also a really good humanitarian, you know, behind the scenes. And you know how good man who's not going to embarrass the organization out of the trenches, you know, so. That's another name to look forward there. And other than, you know, too bad for David Ojabo, who got injured at the combine. But if your team that has a late round first pick and he's available and you're willing to go through the you know, you're going to have him for 5 years, but if you're willing to wait 6 to 8 months for him to recover from that injury, you got yourself a talent. So, you know, we should see on that there, Chef Dan.
Most definitely. I agree with you there. Looking at some of the draft prospects that you're talking about, you see Aiden Hutchinson, like you said, he's someone that's been touted highly to be going possibly in the first round pick. Trevon Walker, like you said, Kayvon Thibodeau, Jermaine Johnson. There's been a lot of guys on the edge that has been coming up, David Ojabo, like you said, it sucks that he got hurt there, but there is a possibility. There's always a possibility that someone could pick him up. There's even names like George Karlaftis. He's been highly touted as well. So it's all based on the scheme that you're planning to run and based on, the personnel that you're looking to have. How does that person fit well in your building? There's been a name, though. I just want to stay on the defensive side because there's been a name that has been starting to just like rise up on the cornerbacks. On the cornerbacks. If you ask me, there's a guy who they're saying potentially could be overall the best athlete, entire best athlete out of the entire draft. A guy that stands out sort of like, I don't even want to say the name. When you say good athlete and cornerback, you know the name I want to invoke, but I don't want to say that name. But right, I have to say, this guy is...
Are you talking about a kid who plays in Cincinnati?
Yes, but the name that they're likening him to, as far as a big-time athlete, they're calling him, like, time big.
No, I don't think. They're two different.
It's two different athletes. But you, like you said, in Cincinnati, Ahmad Sauce Gardner.
Yeah.
He is highly touted and he is someone that has been moving up the draft boards. Do you see a possibility where either one of our New York teams could say, you know what? I know we may need an edge, but this guy is just too good. He changes the face of the defense, especially from the cornerback position, which is tough to say because it's very rare from that position that someone could change the game, but they do. And when you find someone that could change the game from that position, they kind of change positional value. What are your thoughts on Ahmad Sauce Gardner?
I have mixed reaction. Ahmad Sauce Gardner is the best, like you said, best athlete, best corner in this draft. He is the best. A lot of mock drafts all around has him going second to the Detroit Lions. Now Detroit, he'll be the first ever one of the highest rated at that position to go second overall. The last one was in 2019, third pick by the Detroit Lions. By the way, I don't know if. Personally, would he fall to one of the New York teams? Listen, this is my experience as a New York Jet. I can see the Jets picking him up there on four. But my personal opinion, this is me talking about, and I've seen this, and I'm not saying they're the same players. We had Antonio Cromartie, and we also had Darrelle Revis. We didn't win because we couldn't get to the quarterback. That's all I got to say. We had the best cover. We had the best covers, the best corners. And, yes, I would love to have that. Now, if you're telling me that he's available at 10 for the Jets and he's there, which he's not going to be there, then I'm going to be, and we got our pass rusher and we want to go top defensive heavy for the New York Jets wise, I will be ecstatic. I will be ecstatic because now we got someone who could get to the quarterback along with the new additions on the defensive line that we did pick up in the free agent market. And these are already pro and NFL ready players that will fit Salah system. Also, we have, like I said, Lawson returning. Maybe they see that there. You know what? We have enough in the front lines coming in. And then now what we'll do is we'll go with the cornerback. So it might make sense. Yes.
Okay. There's one more thing I have to talk to you about because I got to pull up the notes to make sure I get the names correctly. You did speak earlier to the possibility of the Jets possibly getting Tyreek Hill. That fell out because of, Tyreek Hill, the Chiefs ultimately gave Tyreek Hill the choice of where he wanted to go. He chose not to go to the Jets. That's, that's fine. But there are some big wide receiver names right now. Deebo Samuels and DK Metcalf. Both of these guys looking for a contract extension. both teams right now are kind of in a limbo to where you don't really know if you can, you know, you don't really know if you can sign those guys and give them a full-length extension. Matter of fact, here's some of the names that are looking to get an extension. It's Deebo Samuel, is AJ Brown, Scary Terry McLaurin. I'm letting you know right now, he is a good wide receiver.
He is.
And DK Metcalf. Some very big names. Do you see the possibility of the Jets possibly trading one of those possible, and it would have to maybe be the later round pick, the later out of the first two round picks. So it'd have to be pick number 10. Excuse me, pick number 11. Do you see the Jets trading pick number 11 for one of those star wide receivers, helping out Zach Wilson?
Yeah, the reason why it does make sense for the Jets, because you saw they were very aggressive. They had the Tyreek Hill deal done, but Tyreek Hill did not want to come to the Jets. He said, all right, fine. You know, whatever the package Joe Douglas gave the Chiefs, they accepted it. Whatever they were willing to part. But Miami came in and offered the same and more money to, and Tyreek said, I'd rather go there. They gave him a choice. Now, that means that they're looking, they want a wide receiver. Now, you bring in also, the reason why I say they could afford and pay either any of these wide receivers you mentioned, because they don't have to pay Zach Wilson yet. You know, that's the good thing about having a quarterback, you know, on the rookie contract. You could bring in talent. You could bring in really good talent around him, surround him, and let him, not only his confidence, and then, you know, and he could take off and the offense could take off. And you have yourself something built there. Personally, out of all of them, I like you said, Terry, Scary Terry, phenomenal. It all depends on what's it going to take to get him, or how much it's going to take to sign him. Now we know that the wide receiver market is around anywhere from $20 million guaranteed to $27 million. Now it all depends on which, you know, how much you're willing to invest in your cap for each of these players. You know, personally, if I'm going by someone, to me personally, preference wise, AJ Brown will be good, but I think it'd be a little bit expensive. And I don't see the Tennessee Titans giving him up, because they're in a division they could win. You know, you got Jacksonville, you got the Texans, you know, and you're really, your only competition is the Colts. You know, you're really gonna need that talent, you know, because you could really set yourself up to getting a home field advantage, dare I say, or second seed in the AFC, in a tough AFC. You want to have that home field advantage. So why would you give up? If you're Tennessee Titans, why would you want to give up that advantage, you know, that wide receiver, that could game changer? The one that makes the most sense is DK Metcalf. The reason why, Metcalf does not get injured, knock on wood. He has played most of the snaps. He's durable, and he's only 24 years old. So he's very young, who could grow with a Zach Wilson, who is a freak, a big target, and has speed. So, you know, if I like me personally, I will go with him. Me, as a preference, it would be DK, then McLaurin, then AJ Brown. You know what? The reason why I haven't brought up Deebo Samuels, because I don't think it's going to happen. No matter how much Salah was there, and there's a lot of 46, 49ers, San Francisco familiarity and comfortability, I just do not see the 49ers parting from him, because they could get rid of Jimmy Garoppolo and bring in, you know, Trey Lance, and he's on a rookie contract. They could pay the Deebo Sanders. They could franchise tag him now, then pay him his contract while they bring in the rookie quarterback in, and they don't have to really disrupt their team. That's why, to me, it's more like a pipe dream. If you're telling me Deebo Sanders, I'm gonna be doing cutting a rug in my living room.
Okay. I gotta break some of this down now. Let's go. I really wondered why you stayed away from Deebo Samuels, because it's not about the 49ers familiarity for me. It's just that when you look at what Deebo Samuels could do, not a lot of these guys, like, all right, Brown is very, all right, maybe Scary Terry's the only other guy that could do this. But Deebo Samuels can double as a running back. He has so much versatility. Like, he's named himself a wide back now, because he's just that like versatile in the game plan. I know the way Zach Wilson plays the game, I would have thought that that would have been the best fit for you guys is Deebo Samuels. But like you said, looking at the 49ers situation, it's kind of like, what would you do? Would you rather give another team an offensive weapon at the chance of possibly getting another lottery pick? Or could you keep the weapon you've already groomed, knowing you're not going to have the lottery pick anyways? And you, and like you said, you brought in this quarterback to be a succession plan for Jimmy Garoppolo. It, you know, they can get it done.
Not only that, even if you know, the NFC is not that strong. There's not, you know, not for nothing, there isn't all the quarterbacks and the strength is in the AFC. You know, in that NFC, you know, Seattle has a down year. They're going to struggle. You know, Arizona with Murray, there's question marks with Kyler Murray. You know, you have to defend. Yes, granted, you have the defending champions there right now, but the 49ers were lockstep with them, even with Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback. You know, I understand they're beneath below, but why would you take off a weapon, you know, when you're so lockstep with them? And then you look around. Green Bay is the only really darling there, you know, because they're bringing Aaron Rodgers back, but they don't have, you know, Demonte. They don't have Samuels back coming back either. So Detroit stinks. The Bears is the Bears. They're rebuilding. You know, Minnesota with Kirk Cousins, you really believe in them? You know, so I know I'm breaking all these teams down. Tampa Bay Bucks with Brady, and you're going with a 45-year-old?
I know what you're saying. Essentially, is if you look at the AFC versus the NFC within each division, the AFC has at least multiple teams in each division that poses a threat. Versus in the NFC, there's not much there. There's one team in each division that possibly poses a serious threat, maybe. But then after that, you realistically look to when it's like playoff time and you can knock some of these teams off automatically and know that, all right, this team wasn't even really a serious contender because look at what they did during the regular season. Their record looks nice, but if you go deeper in the details, it's not really there for them. I can agree with that. I can agree with that. So then.
And just right now that I just read, 49ers declined offers for Deebo Sanders, and one team was the Jets, and the other team was the Ravens. So he's not for sale.
That lets you know he's not for sale. He's not for sale. The Ravens, I know there's no possibility of them getting him because it seems like they still have to work out the contract situation with Lamar Jackson. So they don't know how their books are going to look yet. But if they turn down the Jets and the possibility of that lottery pick, knowing that they don't have a lottery pick coming up for the next 2 years, I believe. It looks like Deebo Samuels is clearly not for sale.
Well, there's other reports now that I'm looking at from a verified check mark. You know, Jets were offering the third and Denzel Mims. Now that's too ridiculous. I know Denzel Mims is a really good player that just hasn't fit for New York, but that's awfully too cheap to give away for Deebo Samuels. So, you know, he's a verified check mark, but I'm having a hard time believing on that rumor.
I don't get excited.
I'm not getting excited with it yet, with Deebo Sanders, Sam. Not yet. I don't get excited because, you know, to me, I still think it's a pipe dream. Now, if you're telling me DK Metcalf and the other wide receivers, I'm keeping my eye on that because I think that's going to happen because Jets have the room to bring it in there. You saw it. They had Tyreek Hill, and he just decided not to, which is no problem. I have no ill will. I have no anger towards Tyreek Hill. Okay, fine. Fine, because I think his better days are going to start declining. And, of course, like us Jets, we're going to get a player that's declining, and I'm tired of that. I want, you know, someone to ascend, you know, with the team. You know, and also he's still a great dynamic athlete, but you're not going to be with Patrick Mahomes. What's the dynamic there? Or vice versa. We're going to see vice versa on both of their parts there.
Here's the crazy part. I think maybe the Chiefs, I know we're breaking down other teams. We love football. Ladies and gentlemen, it's New York football above everything else, but we still got to pay attention to the league around us. I think the Chiefs are going to have a down year this year because you're going to miss that speed option. But if you can elect to find a better route runner, because fundamentally what I think the Chiefs lack was they didn't have guys that could run their routes very well. So to where, like, all right, if you have, you know, a guy, if you're not just banking on him to outrun a guy, then that's fine. If you could bank on a guy to run his route correctly and be it where you need him to be, that timing helps, because I think all quarterbacks, they love a good timing throw. It helps them getting to rhythm. There's different type of throws you can, you know, pitch in the offenses. Stuff that happens due to athletic freak of nature. There's prayer throws. There's throws that due to, you know, holes in the defense. And then there's things that you know that are just going to be there based off the timing. And I think they don't have enough of that yet. So they're going to have a down year. But if they can find someone that is a very good route runner, that can help them blossom into some more. But if we got to get right into the draft where you said it, the possibilities are endless there. Looking at it, man, the Giants, we got to do something about this line. We got to do something about this offensive line.
I agree.
And a defensive line. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. It's a bit depressing for me. When I realistically look at it, it's like you... You can't approach the game of football. Well, go ahead.
Here's one thing. There's a glimmer. There's a huge, huge ray of hope for Giants this draft. If everything stays the course, even if I'm going to suggest something too soon, there's a huge ray of hope for the Jets, for the Giants as well as the Jets, and mostly the Giants. I'm really excited for this draft for the New York Giants because I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised. Go ahead, Chef Dan. Sorry, I just wanted to give you that ray of hope before you get the gray clouds to come down.
Because my issue is that with the Giants, they can't approach the game of football at all because they can't touch either lines of scrimmage on the offensive end or on the defensive end. That's it. Literally, Ray Lewis said this. I support it. The backhand got to support the front hand and vice versa. You don't have one without the other. But like, it's got to be complementary football in all phases. So I first have to attack the defensive line because we're the Giants. We play good defense, but that hasn't been the case as of late. Though we do have Wink Martindale, a guy who's known to bring a load of pressure. You tell me, first of all, Jedi, should I be looking at the defensive linemen or the edge rushers?
Neither. The New York Giants will address their offensive line first. This is league that they're going to go. I think they go offensive line first. I think they want to get the trenches. Remember, this is fifth year of Daniel Jones. They want to see what in the world they have in Daniel Jones. If they're going to be back here at this position next year, drafting a quarterback, or they need to give him weapons. They need to give him the time that he needs and see if this guy is the quarterback of the future, because there's a lot of money and a lot of franchise direction involved this season. So I think they're going to address that need. And also Saquon Barkley. Do they bring back extend Saquon Barkley going forward? You know, do they, because they don't want to have egg on their face. Granted, the regime is out of here, but the ownership is still here. They don't want egg on their face with a gold jacket guy. They want to make sure that this guy is a gold jacket guy or semblance to an all-star, you know, all pro. And I think that's why they're going to go offensive. Their first pick, at least at number five, it's going to be an offensive lineman, in my opinion.
Okay, so looking at some of the offensive linemen that are touted to go within the first round, you have Ikem Ekwonu, Evan Neal, Charles Cross, Trevor Penning. Those are the top four that they have. Well, excuse me. And Bernard Raymond. Those are the guys that they have semblance of, you know, all going within the first round. Out of those, you know, four or five guys, who do you have really as the most highly touted guy for the Giants?
See, for the Giants, where they pick at number five, unfortunately, Evan Neal will be off the board. I think Evan Neal goes to the Texans. I think he gets right before the Jets pick. And I got Ikanu coming out of North Carolina State, 6'4", 220. He's the second best lineman, offensive lineman in this draft. I think they get what they want. Who is just a throwback Moeller. You know, he's a good run blocker. Remember I mentioned about for Saquon Barkley what they have, because at the end of the day, you still play in New York, you still play in the Meadowlands, you know, MetLife, Meadowlands, and the weather. You go in, and that's where this organ, you know, at least they from the Buffalo Bills, you know, Dable and company and Shane knows, you know, what wins. You draft to your weather, to your location, to your home field advantage. Because at the end of the day, you want to win as many of your home games and you want to host a playoff game there, let's say, in the future. So you have to build a team according to your elements. And that's why you build your team to an element. I think, you know what? I think the Giants will luck out in getting, Ikemi. The reason why, because I think Evan Neal is 6'7". Yeah, he's a monster, but I think he's going to have leg issues. Something tells me at 6'7", you know, there's going to be some feet, some leg issues, and at 6'4", just the right height, you know, 6 foot, 6'5", just the right height, and he's known for blocking, you know, and I think it's gonna help, because once you get, even if they go on the RPO or passing schemes, you know, you I think you'll get it, and also that's why you have to make sure your running backs block, chip some free safeties or in that case, and I think they'll get it. I think they'll get it right, and I think the Giants will go with where he came at number five.
They have, wow. That's a lot you brought up there, because I think with the Giants, there's a lot of holes that need to be filled on the offensive line. Primarily, the left tackle is okay. I think the center left guard position is somewhat okay. You have a rotation of Nick Gates plus some of the John Feliciano. He's in there in the mix there. Nick Gates played center with Daniel Jones. He was a serviceable center. That wasn't where the line is starting to fall off. To me, it's really in the guard position and the right tackle position. That's where it's really falling off. Now, looking at some of the scout work for Evan Neal and Ikem Ekwonu, Ikem Ekwonu played most of his time on the left side of the ball. Evan Neal also played majority of his time on the left side, but he did play right tackle for he did play right tackle for the 2020 season. Are you going to take the experience over what you feel could be a healthier, longer, a sustainable career, or like, what are you going to do there? Because the game is still, you know, everyone has a clock on themselves as far as the athletes go. And you hate saying that, but that's the truth, especially with the offensive linemen. What would you rather do there? Would you take the guy that you feel is going to last longer, but you know you're going to have to train them a bit harder to learn the position? Or would you rather have a ready-made guy that, you know, is kind of, he's played some time at the position?
You take a best available player first and foremost. And with that said, that's why Evan is not going to be there. Neal is going to be gone. But if Neal is there and they're saying it, for some crazy reason, you know, the draft goes with Aiden Hutchinson, Sauce Gardner. Let's say Trayvon Walker goes to the Texans, and then the Jets go with, you know, Tavion Thibodeau, and now you're left with any one of your favorite offensives, any one of the guards. Then you go Neal, even right there, boom, and like you said, you got. But also, when it comes to guard, you want longevity. You want a guy that you know you're gonna have there for the next 10 years, you know, or whatever, you know, the length. Your guards last forever. You know, offensive linemen, if they're really good, they, you know that. You've seen Jumbo Elliott. I know it's a different game, but still, you know, you've seen guys, you know, even the young man that the young guy that retired, not the young guy, but the guy that retired from the Rams. He was on for
Andrew
years.
Andrew Whitworth. Yeah, he was there till 45. Yeah.
Yeah. So they last for long. Salute Maria. Salute my good friend. And you want to go with that. You want to go with the best available at that town, at that position. So if you're the Giants, you got to get your scouts, and then you go. Then let's say in a worst case scenario, let's say both and who are waking after that, you know, exactly, you know, you got to do this. This is what it, if both of those two linemen are gone, then you have to go with Sauce Gardner. You go defense. In my opinion.
I mean, but okay.
Best because
I don't argue that.
No, the Giants don't need a wide receiver because this draft is loaded with wide receivers, defensive linemen. But also, if you're picking at the later on in the draft, you know, you wanna pick up your defensive lineman back then. Or because the reason why I'm saying Sauce Gardner, if all your defensive, it's tough because it all depends on these top, the four. And the one that's the most interesting out of all of them is two teams. What the hell the Jaguars are going to do and what are the Lions going to do? Those are the only two. And the rest is, to me, that's a wild card. Because I know what really? I know where the Texans are going. They're going with Trayvon Walker. I think they're going to go with that defensive end. They love him. They're in love with him. They're putting out that the feelers. They're just saying, you know what? Don't even bother. We're going with that. You know. So I'm like, okay. So I don't know if Jacksonville, that then it makes it Jacksonville with Aiden, or they're going to go with Neal. So you know. So you might have your pick of your offensive line in here at four.
The other team that I think would be is kind of, you don't know what they might do, is the Panthers. I think the Panthers, I'm a little bit lost on them right now because they need a bit of everything.
You're great. That's fine with the Panthers, but the Panthers come after you pick six. And I don't think nobody is going to be crazy, although, you know, crazy things have happened. I don't think no one's coming, jumping to three. No one's jumping to four. To try to get in front of the Panthers for or even the Giants for Malik Willis or Pickett. I don't think no one's desperate to want to jump ahead of there. The Texans said they're not going to draft the quarterback. They haven't said damn. They're saying they're going with the defense with Trayvon Walker. You know, which unless if it's a smokescreen, you know, a lot of teams on front offices they send a smokescreen and then all of a sudden with the third pick, the Willis might be gone. It might or Pickett. They might.
You're absolutely right, because looking at it now, the Jaguars, we really don't know what they're doing because they're just in disarray, right? I mean, they got Doug Peterson. Congratulations. They now have a coach. But I think they just went on a spending spree in the free agency. And now it's like, what are you gonna do? Are you gonna draft linemen? And even the Lions, we really don't know what they're going to do, because are you going to force the quarterback pick? Is Goff your guy?
Right.
Because that's a hefty contract to have a guy that on a rebuilding team.
And a lot of the times, Chef Dan, hometown teams rarely draft college hometown heroes. So they won't be that added pressure. Because if they want to draft Aiden Hutchinson, he's from Michigan. Hometown, you know, guy that played collegiate ball here. Boy, that pressure. Don't get me wrong, Aiden Hutchinson could handle that pressure. I've seen Michigan games a little bit. Granted, it's been a small sample. Called a few of them in this winter. Not much though, but he's a gamer who changes, who reads offense, who's captain on the defensive line. You know, he is a game changer. But if you're Detroit, like you said, golf, when you have a chance to pick here, unless they think, all right, we'll go with golf. If golf stinks, you know, we could be mediocre and we get back here again to draft another quarterback. But man, when you go back to draft another quarterback, you set your franchise back 5 years. So you know what? The top four picks, even with my Jets, it's all a mystery I won't be surprised if Sauce Gardner gets picked fourth by the Jets, because you know what? Salah knows, likes to play with the corners as well, but we also need defensive linemen. We also, you know, I think wide receiver will be a reach at four, but maybe they want to say, you know what? I didn't like none of the wide receivers that we've seen. I couldn't get a deal for AJ Brown. I couldn't get a deal for DK Metcalf. Let's just get a
star deal wide receiver for McLaurin. Yeah, and let's just I think y'all hold off. I think the Jets would hold off the pick until 11. Hold off the wide receiver pick until 11. We know they're not gonna. It's not gonna be that crazy. We're not gonna see a wide receiver pick with the fourth pick. Because no wide receiver has been a game changer at that point. Like the closest one was Devontae Smith, and look where he went.
And the last time we drafted a high draft pick, our number one pick. Remember Keyshawn Johnson, and you know he was really good, but he ended up leaving and so forth. So I don't see them. I don't see them picking a wide receiver at four. But they're interesting. They could, you know, maybe now with these OTAs right now, Chef Dan. Maybe they don't believe in Mekhi Becton. They see his weight is not there. You know, they're not satisfied with his weight. And man, there's some concern because he's going to eat himself out of the league. And they, you know, no disrespect, because you know, weight fluctuation is not a thing it's a difficult thing to deal with. I've done it. I've lived it myself. You know, as a big guy that fluctuate weight a lot, and I know it's not an easy thing. But when there's generational changing money, you really gotta hunk down and say, you know what, this is I don't want to be living like I want to be making that money, and maybe that's something. And they're going to see if he's motivated. If he's not, it also tells us, you know, Mekhi Becton, they might move him, you know, to another position, or he's you know, backup role, whatever the case is, move him over and draft one of the offensive linemen that we were talking about at that number four spot. So it's a lot of heckle and jackal, a lot of mystery.
I mean, that would really be – it would really suck, because Mekhi Becton would essentially – he'd just do what Isaiah Wilson did to himself, which is eat himself out of the league too with, you know, just not taking care of yourself. And you have to know that your body is the investment. And it doesn't hurt to even, you know – the team gives you a nutritionist, that's fine, but – It don't hurt to take that piece of money out your game checks and whatever, not pay for that nutritionist. Have him at your beck and call at all times, because you know that if anything goes wrong with your body, that's it. These teams are gonna cut the contract very easily and let you go, and it just sucks. It really would.
I agree with you on that. Remember, the contracts are not guaranteed. You know, the first 4 years. Yes, but then after that, once they tell you they're not gonna pick up your fifth year option, you're like, so you got to be careful there. So, Mekhi Becton is an important next few days, and this is birthday, by the way. It's his birthday today. He's the big guy. The future is on that big guy, man. We're worrying about that big guy, because you put him along there with Eric Tucker, you know, with McGovern. You know, they got a pretty nice offensive line group. That came on really well last season. So if they really want to be real impactful, they draft another lineman, you know. But I think they could address these type of impactful linemen or center later down in this draft. Remember, this draft is full of really good both offensive, defensive linemen, wide receivers. This is a wide. If you're in need of those, you could pick up some good players. You know, they might not be the sexy ones at the moment, but they could develop into some blue chippers some down the road in the second, third round.
I agree with you there 100%. You, like you said, you looked at the you could possibility, there's a possibility of getting a blue chipper later on down in the draft. And speaking of later on down in the draft, you know we got to talk about it with in regards to the Giants because they have none right now. Zero whatsoever. And you can find these guys later on down in the draft. Trust me. A bunch of them. They will change the game for you, but they're usually there in the third to sixth round. I'm talking about tight ends.
All
Because
right.
you guys, I kudos to you guys. I believe you signed the tight end from the Chiefs. What is his name
No,
again?
from Cincinnati is CJ Uzma. I get
CJ Uzoma.
Uzoma. I have a hard time.
Yes.
I'm gonna have a hard time pronouncing his name all season. Uzoma. Really good tight end. Really, really good tight end there. They
Very
finally
good
stuff,
tight
yeah,
end.
they got a safety blanket. Now, I want to make a suggestion. Me personally, I like this trade will go either well for either both the Jets and the Giants. You take that number eight pick, you send it over to New Orleans, you pick up their 17th as well as their 20th pick, and maybe you want to give them a third round for a fifth round, whatever, just to make it sexy, and then you end up picking, you move back, but you get two more first round picks at 19 and 16. If you know, it could work either way for the Jets or the Giants. You get an extra pick.
Actually, the way the Saints have organized themselves, that would preferably work well for the Giants because we do know that the Giants only have about $1 million free in cap space. And that's not enough to pay all of their draft picks. And those are automatically on the books regardless. So props, there's a possibility that the Giants could end up going right back into the tax, the luxury tax, just to pay their draft picks. You're absolutely right there. There is a possibility for us to go down later on in the first round. And the consensus best tight end that has been named is Trey McBride out of Colorado State. Have you seen any tape on him that you could, let us know what your thoughts on him are?
I haven't seen much tape on him, but if you draft Trey McBride at the first round, you're reaching. You're reaching because he's projected to be a third round, late second round, third round pick, on there. If the Giants stay where they're going to stay in, if they're going to draft and pick at seven, then you have to go with Jermaine Johnson the second. Jermaine Johnson the second fits what is New York Giants football. A good man off the field, a Florida State Seminole who hard worker, has all the intangibles and what the New York Giants stand for when they look in draft picks, and a star defensive lineman who plays. He played at an ACC college. So, and Florida State is known for having some good defensive linemen and good pedigree there, good football school. If the Giants stick there, they get themselves a pass rusher. And now you have your offensive lineman either in Neal or Ikwanu. And then you get yourself Jermaine Johnson the third. If he's there, which I don't see why not, because I think Panthers are going to end up with going for Malik Willis. I think they're going to go with either that or Thibodeau, he's going to be there for you guys. And I think, if you pick at six, then you got yourself some, now you got some studs there,
okay.
Now you got some studs there, but if they were to trade back, and let's say, and they move back for the 16th pick, depending how everything breaks down, you're able to have a chance here to get yourself some good players. You could also, if you want, you could be able to pick up some more linemen. Let me give you a name to look out that's might help you guys later down the road. You're gonna be able to get Tyler Lumberg from Iowa. He's a center, 6'3", 290 pounds. He's projected to be late first round, but if he's there, you grab him. That's a second round pick. I wouldn't mind if he's around for the New York Jets. When they pick their first pick in the second round, if he's there, now you get yourself you got yourself maybe the cornerback. I'll dress number 11 for the Jets, but if they make their picks and you go back to the second round. Londonberg at a second round pick, you pick. Now, if the Jets stick at a number 11 and they don't trade back either, me personally, if you haven't got your wide receiver, you go get Drake London. 6'5" from USC. Man, that guy. You give Zach Wilson a big, tall target along with your safety blanket in cornerback, because they got some guys, you know, that they got their slot receivers. They got the tight end. Yes, they need a speedster that will break down the defense and separation. But Drake London is more of a big guy that, you know, give him the ball, throw it up there. He's going to get you a first down. And that's the kind of guy they need if they don't get Metcalf. But, man, if I'm the Jets, and that's why I said in the second round, when they pick for the second round, if Lundberg is there, if he's picked up by the Patriots or any other teams, you get your center there, because that you're still getting him at great value at the second round if he's available.
Okay, so then talking about some of these wide receivers, because I know you've scouted a lot of them. Yes. I know you said you wanted a tall guy that could get up, get the ball, and go with it. At six foot three, Drake London, he has that. But also at 6 foot, you have someone in Chris Olave there from Ohio State. Is that not someone you see possibly being the guy for you there?
Chris Olave, not at 11. I think they're better receivers than Olave. I think Olave goes like if the Jets were to trade back. Like, remember I mentioned, if you know, taking the 11th pick and trading back with New Orleans. Because it all depends if New Orleans want to go and, dare I say, move up and get Pickett or Willis if whoever's not available. Or if neither one has been selected and they say, you know what, man, we need to go get a quarterback. You know, we don't know who's our QB. Let's move up. Let's pick these two picks. Let's go get this quarterback. Then you can move 16. Then Chris Olave will be there, unless if the Philadelphia Eagles select him to go along, you know, with their tandem. Maybe Christian Watson is another one, another good wide receiver late in those rounds if you move back. Or Jameis Williamson is the best of the whole draft, but he had these but you have to wait 6 months for 4 years, 4.5 years of great wide receivers, because he tore his ACL in the last game in the college collegiate season. Now, do you want to wait? When you're the New York Jets, you cannot really, unless if you're thinking you're punting again to try to get better draft picks, then you go that route. But man, it's going to be tough to sell a team, a fan base, by the way, who has to pay for PS personal seat licenses like the Giants in that crummy stadium. It's going to be tough to tell them, you know, no, we're going to put something on the floor, but we're going to wait for this guy. The New York doesn't have that patience to wait on that. They need a player who's going to step in on the field from day one and get going, get to work. So Jameis Williamson will be a really good player, it'll be interesting to see how far he falls, and the team that picks him up is probably going to be a playoff already team that they have it and they'll just stash him away, and the rich will get richer, in my opinion. Now, another name, of course, the first wide receiver person I think that might go will be Garrett Wilson.
I was going to ask you about him, because I know you said that that Jameson Williams is the number one overall to you, but they have, I'm looking at another draft board, and they have Garrett Wilson ranked number one overall, yeah. And they have him likened to a CD Lamb. So what are your thoughts on him? Why do you think he wouldn't be able to fit in the Jets offensive scheme?
I think he will fit, but there's something about a guy, a target at 6'4", 6'5", for your 5'11", 5'6" quarterback. You know, you want to get that there. You also, you know, I'm just me, and I might be totally completely wrong. It's just me, my preference. This is my opinion, though, guys. So it's not, I don't speak for the New York Jets. I just want to, you know, it's just my preference. There's something that you cannot teach. And I've said it even with the basketball team, is size. A lot of averaging cornerbacks are around 6'2" to 6'4", maybe. I don't think we've seen any as big as 6'4", 6'3" cornerbacks. You put a 6'4", 6'5" with a vertical leap at 6'7", or, you know, 7 feet that could go up there and get the ball, you have an advantage. You have a huge advantage, especially if you have So-called gunslinger and Zach Wilson, you want to surround him with that type of receiver, in my opinion. I think Garrett Wilson is a great run route runner. I think he's going to be good in the slot, but you still need that height. Now, does he have the speed to separation? I believe he does. So I wouldn't be upset if the Jets do get Garrett Wilson. I wouldn't have no issues with it whatsoever. But I think, you know, I would have liked a guy in a little more taller. And you cannot teach height. He's not going to grow 3 more inches that we need. That's just my preference.
That's fair. That's very, very fair. I can't argue that as well. Another name that we had discussed between each other, George Pickens.
Yes, George Pickens from Georgia.
Yes, 6'3". That's another tall athlete right there. What are your thoughts on that? What are your thoughts on George Pickens? Do you see that as also being a guy that he could maybe surprise that if the Jets want to go a wide receiver early, they, you know, go up and get him?
They could get him, but I don't know. I don't know if he's a Saleh guy. I don't know if he fits the off. You know, I got to see what LaFleur and Saleh, if they want to pick George Pickett, because he had good numbers in the season, but there's something about that. He's not – he didn't interview with the Giants. I mean, with the Jets. They didn't bring him in the Florham Park. They weren't on his OTA, so I to his pro workout. So it's someone that they don't think is on their board, and they think at 11 they might be reaching. Now, if they go back and they draft and they go back to, like I said, to that 16 and 20th, yeah, you pick that, because you said, like I said, 6'4", but they also got Denzel Mims there. So maybe they'll say, you know what, if I don't get the stud who's greater, we got a guy at Mims who's 6'5", but I don't know what's going on with Denzel Mims. I don't know if he has a focus of football, the love of football, or, you know, he had bad luck. You know, he had COVID, then he didn't recover. He lost. He got a stomach. He had a food poisoning that he just lost so much weight, similar to what RJ Barrett went through. You know, that he lost that stomach and he never recovered the season. And then he got into the doghouse with the coaching staff. You know, new coaching staff, you get that food poisoning. He lost so much weight. He didn't recover, you know, from that stomach issue. And he just had a bad year. And you know what it is, when you know what they say, it's tough to redo first impressions. And his first impression was bad with this coaching, with this front office and this coaching staff. So he's like in back burner, you know. And Denzel Mims was a second round pick who had a lot of talent, who has great talent. And it's like, man, you know, you fit the bill of all these wide receivers that we're talking about. Tall, who has separation, but it just can't get on the field for some crazy reason. He's sometimes a detriment of his own success. He's the one that's holding himself back. So will they go? So speaking with George Pickett, they got a guy already in their building who probably has a similar same skill set as George Pickens. And if you have him in the building, I mean, it all depends. Like I said, it's a wild crapshoot. If they bring George Pickens, I have no issues with it. Also, another name, Sky Moore, and Christian Watson out of North Dakota. Another one under the radar who's just climbing up of everyone's board. He is climbing on everyone's draft board who needs a wide receiver. He's just, I don't know, people, you know, sometimes, you know, also there's a lot of propaganda, you know, a lot of World Wide Wests, you know, with, you know, a lot of handshakes and reach arounds that guys start but Christian Watson, excuse me, is phenomenal. His numbers are getting, he's just going up in the charts. He's also another one who's at 6'5". He runs a 4.36, you know, with a lot of speed, skills, you know, just the same. He has decent hands, though. He has a couple bit of drops, but he was in North Dakota State. So, you know, it's really frigid up there. But if he's going to play in the Meadowlands, or he's going to play in Buffalo, he's going to play, you know, in New England, he's got to be able to hang on to the football. So that's something important.
I agree with that 100%, man. And in regards to what Denzel Mims and what you were saying, the way I see it, it sucks to say this, but this is what happens in the game of football. The biggest ability is availability. So when the team feels like they can't have you there and they're looking for a mold of you, they might keep him and give him a chance to, you know, they might give him a chance to, you know, play his way into the rotation, things of that nature. And I truly believe that they'll do that. Problem is, though, what I feel is that if they already have a guy that they're looking to draft in you, in the mold of you, and then you become hurt at one point, it's over. You give them the reason. And it sucks that it's going to be that way for that's what he's going to be going through for the foreseeable future right now. But that's what's going to happen. They're just always going to have someone there to just be your backup.
Yeah, and the thing is, I'm not nowhere saying or even sniffing the fact that Denzel Mims is a number one wide receiver. I've never said that. He was drafted with high expectation at number two. He looked like he was going to be a number two or three receiver that had potential to be a top one or two receiver in this within the Jets when they envisioned him here. But like I said, availability and also himself. He's the only detriment to why he's not on the field, so we shall see I wouldn't be surprised if they cut him before, right before at training camp, right before when training camp starts, they get him in for a week or two. They don't like what they see. They'll tell him, you know what? They'll do that kid a favor. We'll cut you. Go find a team that you could latch on and finish the remainder, get on with the beginning of training camp, get on with someone, get through their training camp and latch on to another team. They might just do him that favor down the road. Who knows?
Yeah, absolutely right. Who truly knows? Man, there was something else I wanted to bring up in regards to the Giants, because they had just brought someone from Africa who is he's a student of OC Umenyora. So they brought him up either to be a defensive lineman or an offensive lineman. I'm trying to find the information right now. Give me one moment. I can't find it.
All right, no needs with that. We'll see.
Yeah, I just wanted to shout out the Players Without Borders. That was where they got the player. That's where they got the player from. He plays in Africa, and he was a student of OC Umenyora. I just wanted to shout that out because that gives the Giants an opportunity to give someone else who's not known in the circles of in college football and things of that nature. You see it now. They just love trying to find they love trying to find different ways to just involve players. We saw that not just Giants only, but the NFL. I saw that recently with one of the Jacksonville Jaguars players. He was an old what's the game? I was really about to say Quidditch. Excuse me, lacrosse. They had a lacrosse player that played for the Jacksonville Jaguars. They love the NFL is now trying to find different ways to reach out to different athletic spaces that may not have the popularity of football. But if you could get this athlete in there and they serve a purpose, then it could possibly lend to other, to people going, you know what, if that guy was from there, let's scout from that sport and what's going on in that sport and what makes it exciting. So that's what I wanted to shout out. But all in all, man, like I said, I'm excited for both brands of football. The Giants, there's a limited number of moves they can make. That's why we're not talking too much about them. They're going to draft within the confines of the line. They have to touch the line of scrimmage consistently this year. That's the only way you even get to the battle of football. You pass the line of scrimmage and you protect your quarterback past the line of scrimmage. But the Jets, man, it's exciting football in New York. That's what I really wanted to bring to light today. There's a plethora of different ways that the Jets could go. There's a plethora of different ways that the Giants could go with as far as trading in and out. But with drafting these picks, there's so much excitement. And we can't wait for everyone to be there. We will be doing a watch along for the NFL draft. We're going to talk about all the craziness that goes down, because you know there's going to be a slew of trades that have you like, what? They did what? Who's doing? Huh? That's what I see is going to happen there. So I just want to thank everyone for joining us. Thank you guys so much for watching along and talking football with us. Jedi, what's your last words to the program?
One last thing. If they do, if the Giants would decide to get pick, that seventh pick, move back, like I said, with those two New Orleans picks, you also have a Devin Lloyd, who's a tremendous linebacker, and you could pick up another defensive end. You know, you trade and get a lower end and you should pass. Or you could get defensive linemen. You know, you could go get a lot of good, you know, defensive tackles. You know, you got Devontae Watt out of Georgia. You could get him at the 20th pick. You know, you Jordan Davis, if he's not hasn't taken, you know. So the Giants, if they're smart and also they don't have to pay a lot, if you know, they could also trade back and also not only save money on the cap, also pick up two more players, possibly a third round pick, move back, give New Orleans this that pick if they really want to get that quarterback there. And you also could get, you know, the Giants need a linebacker. You put a Devin Lloyd in there at middle line and linebacker position. Wow. They're exciting. They're athletic. One, they're going to be athletic. They're going to be all over the place. And you in these days, modern day football, you got to play fast, quick, and with speed. And you need that.
I agree with you 100% because we know the Giants, we may have felt that Leonard Williams fleeced us as far as the contract situation goes. But if you look at the numbers that people are paying for defensive linemen nowadays, it's a bargain. We felt some Giants fans felt like Kenny Golladay got fleeced by Kenny Golladay because we're paying him $19 million a year. You said it yourself. The contract situation for wide receivers now is 20 and up. So we have all these guys currently. We have all the weapons currently under contract. We just have to add a few pieces here and there. We can see that if Daniel Jones is the answer or not. And I'm excited for Zach Wilson. I don't know about you. I know about you. You're excited for Zach Wilson. I'm excited for Zach Wilson. I was watching him ever since he was in BYU, being the gunslinger that he was. So I know that if they surround him with the right weapons, Jets football is going to be very, very exciting this year. So I'm looking forward to all of that. But ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys so much for joining us as we talk all this New York's football and the NFL in general, because we gave y'all a little bit of everything too. But thank you guys once again. Salute. Hit that like and subscribe. And peace.